Let's open our Bibles, Revelation chapter 13, and we're back to this precious chapter. And last week, we saw that we're at the time of the middle of the tribulation, which now we begin into the great tribulation. We begin to see the rise of the Antichrist in this last half of the tribulation. We saw last week that one of the events that captures the attention of so many is the Antichrist is wounded, a mortal wound to his head, and he is healed of that wound. And literally, the devil is allowed to raise this one from the abyss, from the pit of hell itself. And God, again, allows this. So let's not think that there be any power but of him. Amen. Know this for our own lives. See, I pray that this is put into good practice and thanksgiving right now in knowing how mighty is our God and that the devil is used of him mightily in ways that will magnify the faithfulness of God in our lives. So we thank the Lord for this precious plan. Sometimes, brothers and sisters, we do not understand the details that are going on, but we know. We know, praise the Lord, it is for our good and our eternal good and his inheritance in the saints. So that God allows then the devil to empower this one. And we read how the Antichrist comes out of the Gentile nations. He comes out of the sea and he goes forth deceiving the world and speaks of him overcoming those that are on the earth and overcoming even when it says God will hold that off for a bit, but then he begins to overcome even the believers that have refused the mark of the beast. Now, I did want to take just a moment. The Lord put this on my heart because typically when one person has a question, it might be a little handful, might be everybody, I don't know. But I believe sometimes the Lord will bring these things to our attention. So let's talk about again the companies and groups in heaven and maybe just a little bit more light upon basically how these saints that continue on through the tribulation and into the great tribulation and even through the great tribulation coming out into the millennium, how do they all maybe get there? And as the word of God tells us how they again receive the word of God. Well, first of all, by his grace, we know that we're waiting for that trump, the voice of the archangel, the trump of God. We're waiting for that wonderful rise up, come away, my love, my fair one, the bridal company will be taken. At that moment, as the word of God tells us, that is the beginning of the tribulation. So that company is taken out. That time will be no more, praise the Lord. From that moment on, going on very early into the week, and when we say the week, we're speaking of, as the word of God gives it, the seven-year time. So it's called a week. So we begin to move into that. The next company that is translated at that time will be the innumerable multitude. The innumerable multitude will come out somewhere early into the tribulation, maybe about the year, year and a half, somewhere in there. We don't know exactly when. We don't have that exact time, but it's going to be a soon rapture that will come out at that time. Now, kind of backtracking what happens at the beginning of the tribulation time, we also are aware that the 144,000 that the Lord will take a short time into heaven after the innumerable multitude is taken. I wish I had a big chart up here. Maybe someday we will, and we'll pray for grace for everybody to receive that. But right now we're just doing it by hand motions here, okay? So, but the 144,000 are ministered to and begin to be ministered to, even probably before, but especially at the time of the translation of the bride. That begins at that time, and they start that company is beginning to be prepared. We know that 144,000, as the word of God tells us, is 12,000 out of every tribe. They will be taken out very close to the end, the middle of the week. The middle part of the tribulation, just right before that time, they'll be translated. Now, we read about in chapter 11 the two witnesses that'll come upon the scene. the two witnesses will come upon the scene, and they're going to be ones that will give out and be these wonderful evangelists of the Word of God. It gives them prophet-like encouragement and an anointing upon their lives. Because let me tell you something, preaching the Word of God in this tribulation time, you're going to need a real anointing on your life and a real power, because I'll tell you, it's going to be a very dark time. But nothing's hard for God. And when you receive something of that, then it's such a privilege. And even though it's so dark, I'll tell you, God comes in with such love that you talk about a night and fighting and all of these different things. It's beautiful of the reality of the Lord. And when you fight the good fight of faith, there's nothing like it. But again, kind of coming back to the beginning of that tribulation, those two witnesses will come upon the scene and they'll begin to witness the Word of God in great power and demonstration of the Spirit. And they will begin witnessing to what will be called the remnant of, again, if we recall back how we saw in the 12th chapter, we saw that woman, and that woman was clothed, remember, with the stars upon her head, and she was clothed with that wonderful cloak, and under her feet, and all of these different attributes of her was representing the church. And we're so thankful to God that we saw that as every part was in heaven, the last remnant part of that woman was seen in the wilderness. And that's the remnant. So let's, again, maybe instead of using the allegories or these different things that we can see in symbolic fashion, those two witnesses are going to begin to witness to people at the beginning of the tribulation. Okay? Now, some people have asked me before, well, if people give their heart to God very early on, become Christians in that early part, wouldn't they go and be raptured with the innumerable multitude that would be about in that first year or so? You know, I believe probably so. I don't know exactly definitely in that regard, but I would say probably so, because they would have a heart that would be in tune to receive that word. But the preaching goes on after that fact by those two. So people are continuing to get saved because of that preaching. People continue to be empowered because of that wonderful word of God. The 144,000 is taken. And you have to think of this as well, too. As those two witnesses are preaching the word of God, is it not going to be a powerful testimony to see and to know that a large company of people have just been translated out of this earth? To people that believe. Amen? Oh, yes, there's a preaching that's going to be going on. And at that time of that preaching that's going on, that innumerable multitude, that's going to be taken. So that preaching will still go forth. People will still continue to receive the word of God. We get to the middle of the week. Right before the middle of the week, the 144,000 is taken. So here we have now a group of people that have given their heart to the Lord. Let's even say after the innumerable multitude has been taken. Okay, so now we're getting close to the middle of the week. We know that at that time, the Lord will allow the devil to go forth as that roaring lion. We know in the Word of God that there will be those souls, those martyrs, those souls that are seen under the altar. Those will be ones of that company, those ones that have been saved after the fact, that church of Thyatira. That those will be killed and some of them will be raptured into heaven. But some of them will live through. And it's wonderful. Because those will be the ones that refuse the mark of the beast. Those will be the ones that will be sought out for. And those will be some of the ones that will go all the way through the tribulation and live through into the millennium. So you can see how perfectly the Word of God reveals to us how these different companies and these different ones will be through here. But getting back now, and if there's any more questions on that, let me know. I pray that was somewhat clear. I would love to have a little, you know, chart here, but we're just going to take what the Lord gives us tonight. But back to the liar of liars, which is this Antichrist. And all the world will wonder after this Antichrist and wonder after him. And he will demand, after he is risen from the dead, that all worship him as God. Now, we're going to go on tonight to this next beast, his co-conspirator. You're going to have the Antichrist, and then you're going to have this one that we're going to read of here in just a moment, the false prophet. The false prophet, it says, comes out of the earth. This again speaks of the Jew, Israeli descent. So here we go. Now we have, again, this Antichrist that, again, comes out of the sea, typing that he will be a Gentile. And then we have now the false prophet that, again, gets all the people to worship him, will be that of a Jewish descent. Now, the Antichrist is the leader of the nations, a war machine. And the false prophet here, we'll see, is more of a subtle, a leader, most likely, as the Word of God will tell us, that will really persuade the religious community to come around to him. This will be an attack from every angle. It'll get the non-religious, it'll get the religious. They'll all wonder after the beast. And this false prophet will have all the power of the Antichrist, but he'll have even more. As we're going to read, he's even endued with power to perform great miracles and to sway people and fool people with those miracles, with signs and wonders, to give their allegiance and worship to the Antichrist. And this duo will go forward under the full empowerment of Satan in a force that the world has never seen. And what a wrap-up it's going to be. All right, let's go ahead and read from verse 11 on out through 18. And I beheld another beast coming out of the earth, and he had two horns like a lamb, and he spake as a dragon. Now again, this is this false prophet. And he exercised all the power of the first beast before him, all the power of the Antichrist, and caused the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast, or the Antichrist, whose deadly wound was healed. And he does great wonders, so that he makes fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. And he deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do in the sight of the beast, saying to them that dwell on the earth that they should make an image to the beast, which had the wound by a sword and did live. And he had power to give life unto the image of the beast, that the image of the beast should both speak and cause that as many as would not worship the image of the beast should be killed. And he caused all, both small and great and rich and poor and free and bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. And that no man might buy or sell, save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Here is wisdom. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast, for it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. That's exciting stuff. Praise God. Now, as we begin here, let's notice. Here we have this new deceiver, this false prophet. And whoa, what a subtle guy he is. And John sees the false prophet come up as a lamb. So here we go to the counterfeit again. Amen? Didn't we just see that the Antichrist was the one that received the wound, the deadly wound, but was raised again, just as again, in that counterfeit type as Christ? See, people reject Jesus, but they're going to receive a lie. And this is what they're going to get in this wrap-up, as we say, of the age. But this one comes in as a lamb, and you can see so gentle, but yet not so, because it's a ram with two horns. Those two horns on that ram, or this lamb, represent that he deceives both the Jew and he deceives both the Gentile. So he's a deceiver of all. Empowered with that. And the reason he does is because when you don't look to the Lord, you're going to look to the enemy. And this is exactly how this false prophet speaks. As it says right here, he speaks with the voice and the mind of the devil himself. And let me tell you something. But for God, nobody can speak better, and nobody is smarter than the devil. And just know it. But to God, he's a fool. Praise the Lord. Now, think of this. His sheep hear his voice. Amen? Well, praise God. And the ungodly, hear the voice of the dragon, or the ungodly hear the voice of Satan. Brothers and sisters, I'm here to tell you today, it's the same. You either listen to the word of God, or you're listening to the father of lies. And I pray by the grace of God. See, the thing that the Lord has done, and you know this at this time, he has not still allowed the devil to come forth like a roaring lion. Now, nothing's hard for God. He will even protect his people through this time. We know that. Those that will, I shouldn't even say perish, but those that will die believing the Lord, they're not dead. It's still just asleep. Praise God. They're forever with the Lord. Hallelujah. There's never going to be a defeat there. We know this. But brothers and sisters, we're in a time that the Lord, in his great grace, and obviously we know it's because of the bride, he's holding back that full force of the enemy. But we're still in that battle. And that battle is, will you hear the voice of the Lord? Will we react and submit and truly give our hearts over to God and to hear the word of God, which said, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Hear him." Amen? And it wasn't just for that moment. It was for all of our lives to hear the word of God. We have decision after decision after decision to make in our lives. But will we hear the word of God? By the grace of God, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. And I can testify, and you can testify just the same. The happiest I've ever been, the most thankful I've ever been, is when I hear the Lord. The saddest I am, the most miserable I am, even though for the moment I didn't think I was when I rejected to hear or dismissed the word of God in a part of my life. We know it. So I'd rather have fatness to my soul than leanness to my soul. So going back to 12 and 13, this verse 12 and 13, you see, he exercises all the power of the first beast before him. So let me tell you something. The Antichrist is going to be endued with power of satanic portions that this world has never seen. But then this guy has even more. He's given all of that power and causes the earth and them which dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. And he does it basically with great wonders so that he makes fire to come down from heaven on the earth in the sight of men. He's like a prophet, just like Elijah. All of that type, all of that, awesome eye, and I will say it this way, eye candy power. Listen to that, because it's going to come here in just a second. Fire coming out of heaven. See, this is just more counterfeit upon counterfeit of what's going on that's deceiving these people. And honestly, how could you not blame them for, I shouldn't say blame them, but in a sense, you blame them. How could you not be surprised, let's put it that way, that that they obey him and worship the beast if you didn't know the scriptures? Huh? If you didn't know the word of God and this begins to happen, let me tell you something. You're going to wonder after this guy. You're going to say this is God if you don't know the scriptures. That's the truth. See, if you don't believe the word and you saw something so incredible, you saw this duo doing all of these miracles, you'd believe. But that's, again, how weak and gullible you will always be to Satan without the word of God. That's why, for the most part, God's precious people, so sadly, are weak in battling the devil. Because they don't battle him with the word of God. They don't know the word of God. They don't stand on the promises of God. You will be strong standing on the promises of God. But you need to know the promises of God. And to continue to hear the promises of God. And hallelujah, to hear the whole counsel of God. Isn't it wonderful not only to know the promises of God, but then to know the plan of God. Amen? And to know the purpose of that plan. And then all of the provisions in that plan. And then that he's given you the power to perform all of it. That's called Paul's gospel. That's what you get in Ephesians and Philippians and Colossians and 1 and 2 Timothy and all of those wonderful epistles. that endued with power, hallelujah, to fight the good fight of faith, to win him. Praise the Lord. This is what he has given. We're helpless in our own strength, but it becomes an obvious lie in the light of the Word of God. See, his lies, we're not ignorant of his devices, are we? When we know the Word of God, we're not ignorant of his devices, because light exposes lies. It is. Light is truth. Praise God. There's no darkness in that. And we see, again, those darts that he tries to shoot just fall helplessly to the ground. Turn with me over to Mark 13. And this portion of Scripture was sweet. It was on my heart. My mom called me today, and this was already on her heart as she was talking to me. So it was very sweet to hear. Mark 13, verse 19. We'll begin reading. This again, speaking of the tribulation time. For in those days shall be affliction such as was not from the beginning of the creation which God created under this time, neither shall be. So you think of, again, the affliction, the suffering, heartache, sorrow, pain, all of those things. This time of this tribulation, the world has never seen it. By the grace of God, if you step back and fathom that, it's even hard to fathom. Because we've seen some horrible, horrific things for centuries. Suffering. Horrible, horror things. But yet, it cannot be compared with this time. And except that the Lord shorten those days, no flesh should be saved, but for the elect's sake. Isn't that wonderful? Again, but for the Lord's people, whom he hath chosen, he hath shortened the days. See how sweet that is? Praise the Lord. See, he's only going to let something go so far. And that so far is the perfecting. It's perfect. It's like putting that glass, as we talk about those glass blowers, and it's in and out and in and out, and you don't think it's ever going to end. But then finally, it's done. That good work is perfectly performed. That authoring and finishing of that faith is done. And it will not be done a moment sooner or a moment later. It's done right at that moment. So I thank the Lord in that. See, we were just talking about, and you can apply this in so many different ways. But again, of those that go through the tribulation, you can say, oh my goodness, you mean all of the world is going after them and they're going to devour them. How does God do it? He shortens the days. It's over. That Armageddon comes in awful swift. Whoom! That great city, Babylon, as they see it just torched, destroyed. They're weeping and crying, oh, Babylon, that great city. Oh, and the rejoicing in heaven. We're talking about us at that time. We need to be rejoicing now. Get a double portion rejoicing, amen? This is what it's going to be. Thank the Lord. And then, if any man shall say to you, lo, here is Christ, or lo, he is there, believe him not. For false Christs and false prophets shall rise, and shall so show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. Think of what that's saying there. Know the Word of God. Amen. It's going to be like that. But as we read the Word of God and we see this by His grace and only by His grace, because it is the plan of God that we grow wise unto our salvation. Amen. That when you see a counterfeit, you know it immediately. I don't need to study the counterfeit. I know the truth. I know the truth. And I'm reading the truth. I'm reading it all through Revelation. I get what's going on. I know not just the end of the story. I know the whole play up to the end of the story. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. And to thank God that you know it now. Oh, this is foolishness to men. What are those nuts doing in there? Just reading the Word of God. And everything I've read in here, you know what? It's come to pass. And I'll tell you what. And if it hasn't yet, it's coming. Like a freight train on time, it's coming. And that's what's so beautiful and the confidence we can have. Don't get too smart. Don't get smart at all. You'll hear all these winds of doctrine. You'll hear all these cerebral ones. Oh, if this and this and this. Let me tell you something. That word of God is infallible. It's perfect. He's never changed. It will be right on time. Praise God. So we thank him. It's not an if. Our hope is when. Thank you, Jesus. So we see, and let me finish reading that, Mark. I got too excited there. And it said, "For false Christs and false prophets shall rise and show signs and wonders to seduce, if it were possible, even the elect. But take ye heed, behold, I have foretold you some things, a few things, all things." Praise the Lord. And see, the disciples, again, even hearing the Lord speak those things, he had given them all things. And praise God for us, he has given us all our all things. I love that. Praise the Lord. And that's why, and I appreciated Brother Copley was talking about that, where people would say, how is everybody going to be satisfied in heaven? If, you know, if there's, you know, the bride is in the midst of the throne and these ones are in a type waving palms and all this, you know, come on, there's going to be envy somewhere there. No, everybody's got a cup. Everybody's got their all. And it's full and overflowing. Praise the Lord. And I love that. And we know that it's even beyond that. But that, again, is our God. So we see this. And again, but for knowing the word of God will always be deceived. Know that for our lives. Whatever you're facing right now. And that's why you got to pray for one another. Don't give up hope. Pray. Pray fervently. See, and again, that's your trial of faith. Might even be not only, again, it is for your life, but believing maybe for another life. Lord, by the grace of God, wake them up. We've all been there. I know, again, my mom continues to, praying for me, praying for her kids. I pray for my children. Those things are very close to us. But then as we begin, again, God expanding our love, we pray for one another. We pray for one another's kids. Because you know why? It's our family. We're all sons. And we've got a beautiful father and we want to please him. And amen. When you love one another, you want your family to be in tune. And again, not that we're the ones that whip any other into shape, but you love. And you want to encourage, say, come on, that's not you. You don't need that. This is who we are. This is our calling. Come on, we're champions. Praise God, more than conquerors. Amen? Praise the Lord. Pretty simple if we just believe. So, this is why Israel never believed in the desert. Think of this, what we just read about that Antichrist and that false prophet, what he's going to do. That false prophet, remember the signs and wonders. We just read that in Revelation 13:13. And he doeth great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven and on the earth. All right? Think about those that were taken out of Egypt, but their bones waxed in the desert. And why? Because they never knew the ways of God. They were the ones that only wanted and only knew the acts of God. Always asking the Lord, I need to see something. Always looking for a miracle. Always looking for a sign. Isn't that something? And it's never changed. You look at the great religions of the world. There's always some type of an icon, an idol, idolatry, wonder, all of that. That's what garners and gains man's attention. Even in our precious family of God, so many Christians can even be led away with gifts. Gifts of the Spirit I'm speaking of. So wonderful are the gifts of the Spirit in their place. Amen? They're not to be worshipped. We thank God for them. They're an after effect, praise the Lord, of believing God. The Spirit gives them, and he gives them liberally, freely. Hallelujah. And we're to pray for them, but we're not to worship them. But when they're magnified and worshipped, then our walk becomes a fleshly walk, and the word is dismissed and discarded over events, sensation, and just, again, now we're back. And I don't mean that of, but it becomes a strange fire. because that becomes the idol. And man, so sadly, does that time and time again. Our brothers and sisters in the Lord, they were corrected. You know, you can even think about, you know, there went up Moses to the mount. What were they doing very quickly there? Hey, Aaron, take our gold, make us a calf. What is up with that? Moses has been gone just a few days, and you're worshiping something? See how tangible we are? I'm going to tell you something about faith. It's not sight. It's not. You don't need anything. And let me tell you something. You don't have anything but Jesus. But the Word. Isn't that wonderful? You can look at some, oh, well, this makes me think of something or this or whatever. I don't know. This is the only one that makes me think of something. This is the only thing I want to be making me think of something. Hear the Word. Hear the Word. Thank the Lord. Now, you think about... It goes on to say the call of the prophet, this false prophet, he makes that image of the Antichrist. And what they're praising about that image as we read this is the fact that the Antichrist died and came back to life. Isn't that sad? Because right now we have opportunity to praise the one that died for you and is risen. Isn't that so sad? He's already come. You know? And see, those that have refused that and refused the blood, in type, this is what they've already received. But it's going to be made known, this is what they received. And so sad. But this image, you think about what it says here. See, again, it's counterfeit, it's idolatry, because once again, they do not want faith, they want sight. They have to see. God help us to truly, you know, just as he, again, corrected and chastened us, greater is he that has not seen and believed. Remember when he said that to Thomas? So by the grace of God, thank the Lord. You know, I know sometimes we think, well, it would have been great to see that or see this or see that. You know, read the Word of God. Not only do you see it, you're there. You ever walked across the Red Sea with the children that came out of Egypt? Done it many times. All right. By faith. Huh? What kind of kooky stuff is that? It's the truth. It's the truth. It's the Word of God. It's alive. It's alive, is it not? I believe it, and I, by the grace of God, that gives me encouragement. You're there. Hallelujah. There with David as he slew Goliath. How wonderful to see that by faith as I face things. My goodness, Lord, thank you. That stone went right out of my sling. You dirty, uncircumcised Philistine. You think you're coming up against me? You're coming up against God. Amen? Huh? And I love that when attack is upon your home by the grace of God. Oh, my goodness. Now, wait a second. I've got that blood on the doorposts. You're going to pass over me. You're going to be tried, but what you're going to believe? What is or what's the lie? All right? It's exciting, is it not? Amen. Now, this image, it says he gives power to come to life, not only come to life, but to speak, even demand that those that do not worship the Antichrist to be put to death. Now, there's a lot of thought on what this image is, just to think of a few things, and I think it's kind of interesting. We're at a time. Remember, this is John writing this, and John seeing these things. This is John basically at, you know, AD, you know, what, 60, 70, somewhere in there, you know, on the Isle of Patmos, and the Lord has taken him to see these things, but he doesn't understand, possibly, is this technology, is this image something that could be a screen, could it be something that, you know, in a sense, a digital image? I don't know about that, I really don't think, but these are different ones that have said these different things. Could John be seeing a robot? You know, honestly, come on now. There's great advancements in the world today and all that. Could it be a clone? The reason I'm saying could it be is not to think what could it be. It's like it's here in so many different ways that it's here. But beyond that, I'm going to tell you, I believe in my heart of hearts, it's actually what it says it is. I mean, he just caused, I should say, the devil just caused the Antichrist to die and to come back to life. How hard would it then, if God allowed it, to allow the devil to empower some inanimate object, life, to speak? Huh? If the whole world's going to wander after him, I'll tell you what, it's going to the depths and pit of hell to trick them. Think of it, all right? So whatever it is, I'll tell you what, it's all going to be the devil that does it. But whatever it is, I know that it really doesn't matter, because God doesn't specifically, in a sense, say, but I'll take the Lord at his word and believe him in that, praise his name. Now, moving on, verse 16, and it says, and he caused all, both small, great, rich, poor, free, bond, to receive a mark in their right hand or in their foreheads. Now listen to 17. And that no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. So this mark of the beast, it says a mark upon the hand or the forehead. Every man's going to need it in order to transact business. It'd be like showing up at a store or anywhere you wanted to go with no money, no credit card, no check. And no pity, and no compassion. And matter of fact, the law, don't you dare give that person anything or you're dead too. Huh? Amen. Yep. See, this mark is currency. This mark is everything. This name, whatever it's going to be. And that mark allows complete control of commerce, obedience, a tracking of every detail of every human life in every single way. And I just smile because brothers and sisters were there. It's so exciting. So I say, Lord, help us to wake up. You know, we're there. Now, it you know, it's not to get, you know, out there and wonder, oh my goodness, have I received the mark? And deal with Christians throughout the week sometimes about that stuff. And no, we have his name written on us. We have his name, okay? Let's just take a step back, big deep breath, and praise the Lord. Now, it's a complete constraint upon the people of the world. It makes me appreciate thinking about this time, to really think of what's going on at that time, the believers that will refuse the mark. Isn't that sweet to think of that, the plight of those? You know, sometimes we might think that we get caught up into our sufferings, our injustices, but this will be on a scale that man has never known before. We just read that, did we not, back there in Mark? There's never been a suffering, there's never been anything upon this earth that could even compare with this time. And it is going to be directed in its full impact upon those believers, those that have refused the mark of the beast. That encourages me. Amen? Does it not? Come on. That there's going to be people, by the grace of God, believing in the Lord, rejoicing in the Lord. And as we read in chapter 11, it says they give glory to God. They're giving glory to God. They're excited about the word of the Lord. And believe it or not, in their place. Can you imagine that? Because you know what? I can't even imagine their place. Because eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, or has entered into the heart of men what God has prepared for them that love him. And let me tell you something. These ones that have refused this mark, they love Jesus. And praise God what they're going to receive. And praise God that, thank the Lord for this word that encourages me right now. Thank you, Jesus. That yes, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And I will have to, not that we're comparing ourselves amongst ourselves, but this time in its suffering can't compare to that time. But we are suffering for Christ's sake in a precious way, so exceeding abundantly above all we ask or think, for bridal preparation. Hallelujah. It's just awesome. No matter how you look at him, he is just awesome. So, they're suffering for Christ's sake. They're foregoing the ability to transact any type of business or commerce. And then they're completely made known, exposed, that they've refused the beast and are all sought to be killed. Now, the Lord recently has given us a time like that, in a sense, and again, in a type. You know, people think, oh, that's so weird. Hey, just go back to ask the Jews back there in Germany around 1930s and into the 40s. You're going to have a mark, and you're going to have this, and we're going to seek you, and we're going to get you. Huh? Come on. The Lord, again, he graces us with this reality of how wicked man is, but for God. We need to receive it and, again, wake up. It's high time to wake up. So once again, you think of this time, again, how exciting that we read of the bride that's praying. Remember the prayers that are offered up? They're with the Lord receiving those. Can you imagine what a euphoric time it will be for the bridal company? I'm saying, by the grace of God, us to be praying for these brethren as they hold, lay hold of the Lord and remain strong. That's something exciting to think about as you go to bed. So, as we close up here tonight, finally, there's three distinct things stated here in order to buy or sell: the mark, the name, or the number of the beast. The mark, the name, or the number. Now, I was thinking about this mark upon the forehead. Now, it could be that it's a literal tattooing some way, but somehow I believe as well too, just as the Lord says about these Christians that are sealed with God upon their foreheads, and even about the Church of Philadelphia, written upon her a new name. Amen? He doesn't necessarily write that upon me literally this way, but he puts it on a countenance. He puts it in our mind and in our heart. It's who we are. More than us sitting here tonight, we know our calling. By the grace of God, we know inevitably, and I know it by the grace of God, everything that I see, it's gone. Everything I see that is gone, only the Word of God, that Word of God in His vessels of grace and mercy, that's going to endure forever. And I thank the Lord, how sweet that is. But you think about this, and I don't believe it's a literal mark. I believe it's a conscience, a heart of conscience, of knowing. And you think about, again, the seal in the forehead. Those that know, I guess, the physiology would understand this. The decision-making part of your brain is right here in your forehead. It's right here in the front. And this is where these decisions are made. You know, I understand it's the heart, but by the grace of God, that's where that's written. And I believe, too, that it talks about, in the Word of God, that these ones have a conscience that is seared. These ones have minds that are possessed with complete apostasy. It's a wickedness. We're going to read more about them, even in this time, that they go this way, and God, I mean, he inflicts the beginning of this pain and this horrible time to them because of what they've done and because of their, again, their evil. And yet they don't repent of it. And they do it more, and they have pleasure in it. They're sick. It's a disease. And this is what we're talking about. It's a diseased mind. And then you go on to the name. You think about the name. The name written on us represents whose we are. Who do we belong to? We're the Lord's. And we're thankful that his name is written upon us. And it's all about the name. It's his name whereby all men must be saved. It's the name of Jesus. And it's just like it's the name that they receive, that they're doomed. They're doomed. See, without the name of Jesus, that's why it says in the Word of God so sweetly, whosoever calleth upon the name of the Lord, the name Jesus, shall be saved. Amen? Isn't it so sweet? That's how powerful that name. All power is given in that name. Everything is in that name. That's why whenever you, just in anything, cry out Jesus. Praise God. The more, the better. It's wonderful. Hallelujah. And that's why when you pray in Jesus' name. And I mean that. Don't say, well, in your name, or in all this. And I mean it sincerely, in the name of Jesus, let it be known. Be not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, and be not ashamed of the name that is given among men, whereby ye must be saved. Praise God. Now, finally you go to the number of the beast. And I'll tell you, do you see how it says, here is wisdom, let him hath understanding. See, we need to understand this. That mark of the beast, 666, we've heard that all of our lives. We see him make movies about it and all of this. Let me tell you something, it's not something to be mocked. That number 6 is the number of man. And here specifically, the number 6 is Satan's influence over man. And then you got 3 of them. Now we go back and we've been talking about how this is the perfect counterfeit, right? You think of our beautiful Trinity, and we worship him and praise God that unity, that beautiful Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Well, here you have the devil, you have the Antichrist, and you have the false prophet. And there you have, again, that 666. You have a triangle. Again, the 3. There's no stronger, shape. In that regard. And this will be the most powerful presentation in fierce, evil, satanic indwelling that the world has ever seen. But the good part is, where we're at right now, from here on out, all we're going to read about is the beasts and their followers and their destruction. We've seen how quickly they've risen to power, but I'll tell you something, their demise is even faster. Hallelujah. It's a beautiful thing, praise God. And I'll tell you, it's something to rejoice about because we're here. And I'm thankful to the Lord. I believe that your heart has to be quickening like that. You know, there's ones that'll mock, oh, where's your Jesus? You know, Paul spoke that way too. Sure, Paul spoke that way. Paul believed it was happening then too because he wouldn't have been ready for the coming of the Lord if he didn't believe it was that time. Amen? If he would have been, well, you know, I think that's off a couple thousand years, but I'm still running. No, because you're loving his appearing. You're expecting the coming of the Lord, no matter when you live. That's what was beautiful to hear about the writings of Brother Copley and Sister Bodie and all of those. That's why I tell you time and time again the testimony of Brother Hill. As he was sitting there on that floor, full of cancer, ready to die, it wasn't, oh, you know, Lord, just come and let me die today. No, he looked at me and he said, son, do you think he could come today? That's the difference. That's the difference, by the grace of God. Amen? Yeah, because in that state, in that precious place that he's got you right now, to be looking and loving his appearing to say, Jesus, are you coming right now? Amen? That's the best time to be crying out that, especially is when you're in some of these deep trials. Lord, I know you're going to deliver me out of this, but boy, I'll tell you what, I'll take that double portion delivery any time to be present with you right now. Amen. Okay. Let's pray. Lord, thank you again. Just appreciate your word so much. Thank you, God, that you enlighten the eyes of our understanding to see it. Lord, continue to, again, just make this more real to us because it's the only real there is. And Lord, thank you again that we don't need to be tossed to and fro, and we don't need to be double-minded in our lives, and we don't need to be unstable, Lord Jesus. We just believe you. We take it from the hand of the Lord. God, help us to have that open hand. That God, we're not holding anything too tight. We just lay it there. Lord, again, you withhold nothing good from our lives. Let us believe that for our lives, for our family, our children, all of our loved ones. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.